Where is Richard? The soldiers are going wild with talk of Richard being back, of the bond being back. Where are you whores hiding him? The voices from the ether had told him, too, that Richard was back. The voices had told him that if he wished to assume his rightful place, he must eliminate Richard. And where is my loving wife? Where has she gone to? The voices told him that she was in the Slif, but the Slif wouldn't tell him where she had gone. Kara spat at him. I am Mord Sith. You are too stupid to even imagine what has been done to me before. You couldn't fill the boots of the meekest trainer of Mord Sith. Your puny torture will pry nothing from me. Oh, Kara, you have never encountered one of my talents. Do what you want with me, Treffen, but Lord Rawl, the real Lord Rawl, is going to cut you up into little pieces. And just how would he be able to do that? He lifted the hilt of the Sword of Truth clear of its scabbard, so she could see the gold lettering that spelled out the word Truth. I'm the one who is going to be doing the cutting into little pieces. Little, tiny Richard pieces. Where is he? When she spat at him again, he couldn't resist fisting her across her cut and swollen lip. The blood gushed anew. He turned and retrieved one of the items he had brought, an iron pot. He put it on her belly, upside down. I'm too big to cook in that pot, you stupid pig! You will have to cut me up. Do I have to explain everything to you? He liked the way she tried to antagonize him, to make him lose his temper. She wanted him to kill her. He would. But she would talk first. Cook you? Oh, no, Kara. You have the wrong idea. The wrong idea entirely. You think me some maniacal murderer. No murderer, I. I am the hand of justice. I am the hand of mercy, come to bring eternal virtue to those who have none. This pot isn't to cook you. It's to cook the rat. He was watching. He saw the way her blue eyes flicked toward him. He had been waiting for just that reaction. Rats! I hope you aren't stupid enough to think that I am afraid of rats just because I'm a woman. I'm no woman like you have ever seen before. I used to keep rats as pets. Really? You lie so poorly. My dear, loving, passionate wife, explain to me how afraid you are of rats. She didn't answer. She was afraid of showing her fear, but he could see it in her eyes. I have a sack of rats here. Nice, fat rats. Just get on with this rape. I'm growing bored. I told you I don't rape women. They want it from me. They ask for it. They beg for it. He tugged down his ruffled cuffs. No, Kara, I have something else in mind for you. I want you to tell me where I can find my loving brother. She turned her face away. Never. Get on with the torture before I fall asleep and miss it. You see, as I told you, women always ask me for it. He pressed the iron pot to her belly and wound a chain around her middle to hold down the pot. He forced a finger under the rim, checking to make sure that it was tight enough. He then loosened the rough knot in the chain so he could get the rats under the pot. Kara showed no reaction when he shoved the first under the pot. Holding the second by the scruff of its neck, he held it before her face, letting her see it squirm and squeak. See, Kara, as I promised you, rats, big rats. Sweat beaded on her forehead. I kind of like it. It feels fuzzy against my stomach. I may fall asleep. He stuffed the second, and then a third, under the pot. There was room for no more. He took the slack from the chain and tightened the knot of links. Fuzzy, he mocked. I think they will keep you wide awake, Kara. Wide awake and eager to talk, eager to betray Richard. Whores have no honor. You will betray him.
Verdine is going to be here soon. She will skin you alive.
He lifted an eyebrow. You relieved, Verdine. I saw you. After she left, I took you down. She won't be back for quite a while. But when she does come back, she will get the same as you.
With tongs, he retrieved a big, glowing coal from the pan over the mass of candles. He plunked the red-hot coal down inside the rim of the footed bottom of the iron pot. "You see, Kara, the coals are going to heat this iron pot. Get it very hot." He looked at her eyes. "The rats aren't going to like that. They are going to want out." Her breathing quickened. Sweat rolled down her face. Where were her brave words now? She was silent now. "And how do you suppose the rats are going to get out, Kara? Once they start to get hot, once the iron pot starts burning them, singeing their tender noses." "Just cut my throat and kill me, you bastard. When the rats get hot enough under there, they'll panic. They'll be frantic to get out. Guess how they'll get out, Kara?" She had no haughty answer to fill the silence. He pulled his knife and with the handle tapped the iron pot. "How are you doing in there, my little rat friends?" Kara flinched. He smiled when her eyes turned to him, watching him. He could see fear in those eyes, real fear. He plunked down a half dozen more glowing coals on the iron pot. "Where is Richard?" She had nothing to say. He piled on more coals into a nice round hump. That was all the pot's bottom would hold. He bent over and looked into her eyes. Her skin was as white as chalk. Sweat glistened on her face, on her breasts. "Where are you whores hiding, Richard?"
"You are crazy, Trevor. I don't like this. But if this is how I am to die, then I will die. But I will never betray Lord Rawl."
"I am Lord Rawl. When I get rid of my brother, there will be no one to challenge my rule. I am the son of Darkon Rawl and the rightful master of Dahara."
She turned her face away. He saw her swallow. Her feet were trembling. Her smooth breathing was interrupted now and again, caught up short. He chuckled.
"I'll ask again. When the rats start gnawing their way through you to get away from their hot iron prison,
when their sharp little claws start digging into your belly, when the rats start tunneling into your guts trying to get out."
Kara's whole body jerked. It jerked again. Her eyes widened as she stared up at the ceiling, trying to keep the moan from escaping her throat. He glanced back and saw a drop of blood run from under the rim of the bowl down her side.
"Well, looks like they already want out. Ready to talk yet?"
She spat at him and then gasped sharply, her wide blue eyes fixed on the ceiling. She was trembling all over now. Her whole body stiffened, every muscle strained. She started to pant. Tears filled the corners of her eyes to run down the side of her face. She was feeling every little thing the rats did, every frantic bite, every desperate digging, ripping of their claws. Kara let out a short little cry, sharp, shrill, clipped. It was rapture. He knew it was only the beginning. Even if she talked, he had no intention of stopping this. He longed to hear screams, real, from the gut screams. Kara obliged him and let out her first. Because of his singular perception, another detail caught his attention. His vigilance had again rewarded him. Smiling, he turned to the slit's well.
"Breathe."
Colin expelled the slit, but she knew something was wrong even before she sucked the breath of air. A piercing scream echoed around the stone room. Colin thought the shriek would make her ears bleed. As she erupted from the slit, before she could brace herself to react, big, strong hands reached down and seized her. She struggled to get her bearings, to make sense of what was happening as the sudden light and sound whirled in around her. The hands tore the book from her grasp, an arm clamped around her neck, its big fist gripping her arm. She felt rope being wound around her wrist. A nightmare came to life in her vision as she was dragged from the well, kicking and twisting and trying to get away. She went limp when a fist in her gut drove the wind from her lungs. Her knees smacked the stone floor. Her arms felt as if they were being wrenched from her shoulder sockets as they were twisted behind her back. She fought to reach her confessor's power,
only to remember when she couldn't touch it that the spirits had walled it from her so she could be married to Drefn. She was defenseless. It was Drefn attacking her. Kara was there, on the floor, her wrists bound above her head, the rope fastened to a pin in the wall. Her ankles, likewise secured with rope, were stretched toward the opposite wall. She had an iron pot chained over her middle. The smell of hot coals and burning flesh assailed Colin's nostrils, gagging her. Drefn pressed his knee to her arm as he knotted rope around her wrists. Colin tried to bite his leg. He backhanded her across the face so hard that her vision narrowed to a tiny spot. She fought to keep that vision, to stay conscious. She knew that she was lost if she passed out. Her arms bound behind her, unable to break her fall, she smacked into the stone floor, face first. Drefn pounced on her back, sitting on her, holding her down as he bound her legs together. Colin struggled to pull a breath against the weight of him. Blood gushed from her nose. The rope around her wrists was so tight that already her fingers were tingling. Kara screamed. It was the loudest scream Colin had ever heard. It sent icy needles stabbing into her head. It made her face hurt. Blood was running from under the rim of the iron pot. Kara shook and thrashed. She stiffened and screamed again. Drefn lifted Colin's head by her hair.
"Where's Richard?"
"Richard? Richard is dead!"
Colin grunted at a punch in her kidney. She couldn't get her breath. Drefn turned his attention to Kara.
"Ready to talk yet? Where did you hide Richard?"
Kara's only answer was another shuddering scream. When it ended, she panted in pain.
"Why did you tell him?"
Kara wept.
"Why did you tell him about the rats? Dear spirits, why did you tell him about the rats?"
Terror locked Colin's breath in her lungs. Blood, vivid red against white skin, ran in rivulets from under the pot's rim and down Kara's side. Smoke curled up from the hot coals atop it, and then Colin saw the bloody claw wriggling from under the rim of the pot on Kara's stomach. Colin suddenly understood. It took all her force of will to keep from vomiting. Kara cried hysterically, thrashing at the bloody ropes holding her. Colin furiously squirmed forward, going for the chain to try to undo it with her teeth, to try to get the iron pot off Kara. Drefn lifted Colin by her hair. "Your turn will come, wife." He heaved her back. Colin smacked into the wall and slid down onto something hard and sharp. The pain brought stinging tears to her eyes. It was Nadine's bag, full of all those horn containers. She lurched and wrenched herself until she was able to slip to the side, off the bag, and get her breath back. Drefn turned his dark and raw eyes on her. "If you tell me where Richard is, I'll let Kara go."
"Don't tell him!"
Kara screamed.
"Don't tell him!"
"I couldn't if I wanted to," Colin called out to Kara.
"I don't know where you hid him."
Drefn picked up the book Colin had brought.
"What's this?"
Colin's gaze locked on the sinister black book. She had to have that book, or Richard would die.
"Well, no matter, you won't be needing it anymore."
"No!"
Colin screamed when she saw what Drefn was going to do with the book.
"Please!"
He looked back at her as he held the book out over the Slith's well.
"Tell me where Richard is."
He smiled, lifting an eyebrow.
"No."
He dropped the book down the well. Colin's heart sank with the book. The Slith, who liked to watch the people in the room, was nowhere to be seen now. She probably had been frightened away by the screams.
"Drefn, let Kara go, please. You have me. Do what you want to with me, but please, let her go."
Drefn smiled as wicked a smile as Colin had ever seen. It was a twin to Darkin Rawl's smile.
"Oh, don't you worry. I intend to do what I want with you, when it is time."
He turned back to Kara.
"How are the rats doing, Kara? Ready to talk yet?"
Kara cursed him through clenched teeth. Drefn reached into a sack and brought out a rat, holding it by the scruff of its neck. He shook it in her face as she tried to turn away. He lowered it against her. Squeaking and twisting, its claws scratched and dug as it tried to get away from Drefn's grip, leaving red streaks along Kara's cheeks, chin, and lips.
"Please!"
Kara wailed.
"Please get them away!"
"Where's Richard?"
Dear spirits, help me. Please help me. Please help me, she mumbled over and over.
Where's Richard?
Kara's body jerked violently.
Mama!
She shrieked.
Help me! Mama! Get them off! Mama!
Kara was alone in a cage with rats in the grip of terror and pain. She was a helpless child again, begging for the comfort and protection of her mother, wailing for her mother. Colin gasped in tears. This was her fault. She had told Drefin that Kara was afraid of rats.
Kara, forgive me! I didn't know!
Kara thrashed at her ropes, a little girl, frantically begging for her mother to get the rats away. Colin strained to pull a hand free. If she could only get a hand free of the ropes, but they were so tight. She tugged and pulled. Her fingers tingled. The coarse rope cut into her wrists. Colin pressed her wrists against Nadine's bag, searching for something sharp to cut the ropes. The bag was cloth, the handle smooth wood. The bag. Colin bent to the side, her fingers feeling for the button that held the bag closed. She found it. She struggled to undo the button, but her fingers were numb, and at the angle that her arms were twisted, she couldn't make her fingers work properly. She dug at the button with her thumbnail, trying to hook it to the side, trying to rip it off. It was sewn on with heavy thread to stand up to the rigors of use and weight. At last, the button popped through its hole. Colin scooped at the contents in the bag, trying to sling them out where she could see them. Every shrill wail from Kara made Colin flinch. Every time Kara cried for her mother to save her from the rats, Colin had to hold back a sob of her own. When she glanced up, she saw Drefin wiping a rat across Kara's face. He had broken the back of another and draped it across her throat. Colin gritted her teeth and fingered the horn containers out of the bag. Kara was her sister of the Aegil. Colin had to do something. Kara's only hope was Colin. She twisted her neck, trying to see the markings on the horns. She couldn't find the one she wanted. She used her fingers, groping at the symbol scratched into the horn. She felt one that she thought was the right one, and her hope soared, only to be dashed when she felt that there were three circles. She flicked each horn out of the way when she determined that it was not the one she needed. She rooted in the bag and found another. Her fingers blindly felt the scratches. They went in a circle. She slipped her fingers along the horn and found another circle. She felt a heavily scratched straight line between them. Colin held the horn in her fingertips and twisted, trying to see if she was right. Kara screamed and Colin dropped the horn. She scooted to the side so she could see it on the floor. It had two circles scratched into the patina of the horn. A horizontal line ran through both circles. It was the right one. Canaan pepper. Nadine had warned her about taking off the wooden stopper, warned her about getting it in your face, your eyes. It would immobilize a person for a time, Nadine had said, make them helpless for a time. Colin worked the horn back into her fingers. She wiggled the wooden stopper, trying to loosen it. It was cut to fit tightly, to keep the dangerous substance from leaking out. Colin's fingers were so numb they had no strength. She gritted her teeth as she tried to work the stopper loose. She didn't want it off yet, but she had to know she could get it off. With her hands behind her back, she couldn't throw it. She frantically tried to think of what she was going to do. She had to do something. If she didn't, Kara would soon be dead, and then Drefin would start in on his loving wife. Kara wailed in agony.
Please, Mama! Get the rats away from Kari! Please, Mama! Please! Help me! Please! Help me!
The pleading cries of hopeless terror ripped at Colin's heart. She could wait no longer. She would just have to figure out what to do when the time came. She had to act.
Drefin!
His head twisted around.
Are you ready to tell me where Richard is?
Colin remembered something Nathan had told her.
You must offer Richard's brother what he truly wants if you are to save Richard.
Maybe it would save Kara.
Richard! What would I want with Richard? You know that it's you I want.
He smiled a knowing, satisfied smile.
Soon, my dear. In a little while. You can wait.
He turned back to Kara.
No, Drefin, I can't wait. I need you now. I want you now. I can't resist any longer. I can't pretend any longer. I need you.
I said,
just like your mother.
He froze at her words.
I need you like your whore of a mother needed your father.
His expression darkened. Like a provoked bull, he turned toward her, his piercing eyes riveted on her.
What do you mean?
You know exactly what I mean. I need to be taken like your father took your mother. I want you to take me like that. Only you can satisfy me. Do it. Do it now. Please.
He rose up, huge and imposing. His muscles rippled and knotted. His brow drew down in that grim, raw glare.
I knew it, he breathed. I knew it. I knew you would finally give in to your filthy perversion.
He hesitated, looking back at Kara.
Yes, you're right. You're always right, Treffen. You're smarter than me. You were right all along. I can't fool you any longer. Give me what I want. Give me what I need. Please, Treffen, I'm begging you. I need you.
The look on his face was frightening. It was madness. If she could have shrunk back into the stone, she would have. Treffen slipped free the knife at his belt as his tongue wet his lips. He started toward her. She had had no idea just how effective her words had been. In sudden panic, Colin wiggled the wooden stopper. Dreffen's whole face, the whole way he carried his body, changed. He was a seething monster coming at her. His eyes narrowed with bestial loathing, savage hatred, hatred for her. Colin swallowed back the sudden terror welling up in her throat. Dear spirits, what had she just done? She scuffed her feet against the stone floor, trying to back away. She was already against the wall. How was she going to get the powder in his face?
Dear spirits, what do I do?
Colin wiggled the stopper with all her might. It popped off. Treffen went to a knee beside her.
Tell me how much you want me to please you.
Yes, I want you. Now, give me the pleasure only you can give me.
He brought the knife up as he leaned toward her. Colin heaved herself toward him, twisting, rolling to the side as hard as she could, flinging the horn full of powder at his face as she rolled onto hers. She couldn't see, face down on the stone. She didn't know if she had missed, if the oily powder had come out, if she had the horn turned the right way, if he was close enough. She held her breath, bracing for the thrust of his knife, imagining it coming, knowing it was coming. She could almost feel the sharp edge slicing her. She struggled against the panic of not knowing just where he was going to cut her. Treffen staggered back. She turned her face and saw him fall on his back, writhing, gasping for breath. Colin flipped herself over and started scooting toward Kara. She tried to move around Treffen, but she didn't have much room to maneuver. His groping hand caught her ankles. She kicked, trying to pull away from his grip. His fingers tightened around her ankles. His powerful arm dragged her toward him. He gasped for air, his other hand flailing about, trying to feel what was around him. He was blind. Colin saw yellow powder on his cheek and neck. She hadn't gotten it in his eyes as she had hoped. She hadn't gotten it directly in his mouth or nose, just the side of his face. Most had missed. She didn't know how long that would stop him, but she didn't think for long.
Dear spirits, let it be enough.
The horn was on the other side of him. She couldn't get to it. With all her strength, when he tugged on her leg, she used his pull to add momentum and kicked as hard as she could at his face. She caught his ear, tearing it partly away from his head. He bellowed and released her ankle. Desperately, Colin pushed with her feet to get away from his grasping fingers. She made it out of his reach. She bumped into Kara. Colin sat up and scooted back toward the woman.
Hold on, Kara. Please, hold on. I'm here. I'm going to get them off you. I swear, I'll get them off you.
Please, Mama!
Kara wailed.
It hurts so much! It hurts! It hurts!
Colin pulled her feet under herself so she could raise up enough. She craned her neck, looking over her shoulder, trying to see what she was doing. She seized the chain. It burned her fingers, making her recoil. She made herself grab the chain again. She tugged on the iron knot, shaking, twisting, pulling. Through burning fingers, she felt a link slip and the chain loosen. She stole a quick glance. Treffen was still struggling to breathe, but he had straightened his legs. He put his arms at his sides. What was he doing? Colin felt a link pull past resistance. She wiggled the chain to loosen the knot, to give it more room to come undone. Another link slipped free. The chain loosened further. She tugged at it, refusing to let go, even though the hot iron was burning her fingers. Drefin's breathing was evening out. He was laying perfectly still. What was he doing? Colin cried out with joy when the chain rattled off the side of the pot. With her back to Kara, Colin hooked her fingers under the rim of the scalding pot and heaved it up and back, flipping it off Kara. Bloody rats tumbled to the floor, squirming and wriggling, trying to get their feet as they scurried away. Colin was near tears with joy.
I got them off, Kara! I got them off you!
Kara's head lolled from side to side. Her eyes rolled. She mumbled incoherently. When she looked over her shoulder and saw Kara's stomach, Colin had to look away or be sick. She scooted up toward Kara's hands. With frenzied effort, Colin dug at the knot of rope, but the knots were pulled impossibly tight from Kara's thrashing. Colin couldn't budge them. She wasn't going to be able to untie them. She would have to cut them. Drefin's knife lay on the floor near him. He was lying there, perfectly still. She had to hurry. She had to get the knife and cut Kara's ropes. She had to cut her own before he recovered. Colin dug in her heels and scooted toward the knife. She turned around, feeling for it with her fingers. Drefin rose up and seized her. Holding her around the middle, he lifted her as if she weighed nothing. He brought the knife around in front of her face. "Nasty stuff," powdered Cayman Pepper. "Lucky for me, I know how to use my auras to overcome it. Now, my whore of a wife, it's time you paid the price for your perversion." Chapter 67. Richard staggered toward the Sliff's room. From a room not far away where Kara and Verdeen had put him, he had heard the screams. He had no idea how long he had been insensate, no idea how long it had been since they had taken him there, but the screams had brought him awake. Someone needed help, and the last scream he knew. Colin. His head pounded in violent pain. He hurt everywhere. He hadn't thought he would be able to stand, but he did. He hadn't thought he would be able to walk, but he did. He had to. He was barefooted and without a shirt. He had on only his pants. He knew that the lower keep was cool, but he was covered in a sheen of sweat, hardly able to breathe through the heat he felt. He used all his willpower to force himself to move. He straightened, put a hand to the side of the door into the Sliff's room, and walked in. Drefin looked up. He had his arm around Colin's middle. He had a knife in his other hand. To the side, Kara was lying on the floor, tied in ropes. Her middle was ripped open. She was still alive, but shivering in agony. Richard couldn't make sense of it.
"What in the name of all that's good is going on, Drefin?"
"Richard," he sneered. "Just the man I'm looking for."
"Well, now I'm here, let Colin go."
"Oh, I will, dear brother, soon. It is you I need."
"Why?"
Drefin's eyebrows lifted.
"So that I can be reinstated as Lord Rawl. It's my rightful place. The voices told me, my father told me, I am to be Lord Rawl. I was born to it."
The plague was a far distant drone in Richard's mind and body, yet this all seemed a dream, too.
"Drop the knife, Drefin, and give up.
It's over. Let Colin go."
Drefin laughed. He threw his head back and roared with laughter. When it died out, Drefin's eyes narrowed with frightening resolve.
"She wants me. She begs for it. You know the truth of that, my dear brother. You saw what she is. She is a whore. She is just like all the others, just like Nadine, just like my mother. She must die like all the rest."
Richard looked into Colin's eyes. What was going on? Dear spirits, how was he going to get her away from Drefin?
"You're wrong, Drefin. Your mother loved you. She took you to a place where you would be safe from Dark and Rawl. She loved you. Please, let Colin go. I'm begging you."
"She is mine. My wife. I will do with her what I will."
Drefin slammed the knife into Colin's lower back. Richard flinched at hearing it hit bone. Colin grunted with the impact, her eyes going wide in shock. Drefin released her. She dropped to her knees and crumpled to her side.
Richard tried with all his might to make sense of this. He couldn't decide if this was real or a dream. He had been having so many dreams, so many nightmares. This seemed like all the rest, but different. He didn't even know if he was alive anymore. The whole room swam before him. Drefn drew the sword of truth. The ring of steel that Richard knew so well echoed around the stone room, a chime that seemed to awaken him into a nightmare. Richard could see the rage from the sword, the magic take Drefn's eyes.
"I'm all right, Richard,"
Colin panted as she stared up at him.
"You don't have a weapon. Get out of here. Get away. I love you. Please, for me. Run!"
The rage in Drefn's eyes was nothing to match the rage thundering into Richard's heart.
"Drop the sword, Drefn, now, or I will kill you."
Drefn swept the sword around.
"How? With your bare hands?"
Richard vividly remembered what Zed had told him when first giving him the Sword of Truth. The sword was only a tool. The Seeker was the weapon. A true Seeker didn't need the sword. Richard started forward.
"And with hate in my heart. I will enjoy killing you at last, Richard, even if you don't have a weapon." "I am the weapon."
Richard was running. The distance between them shrank at an alarming rate. Colin screamed for him to get away. He barely heard her. Richard was committed. Drefn lifted the sword overhead, pulling a breath in preparation to cleave Richard. That was the opening. Richard knew that a thrust was faster than a cut. He was in the iron grip of deadly determination. Richard was lost in the dance with death. Drefn bellowed in rage as the sword darted down. Richard dropped to his left knee through the opening, using his forward momentum and a twist of his torso to add force to his strike. Fingers straight and stiff, he drove his arm ahead with all his might. Before the sword could touch him, Richard struck like lightning, driving his hand through Drefn's soft middle. In the blink of an eye, he had seized Drefn's spinal column and yanked it back out, ripping it apart. Drefn pitched backward, crashing against the sliff's well, slumping down in a spreading crimson flood. Richard bent to Colin, cupping her face with his left hand. He didn't want to touch her with Drefn's blood. She was panting in pain. From the corner of his eye, Richard could see Drefn's arm move.
"I can't feel my legs, Richard. I can't feel my legs. Dear spirits, what did he do to me?"
Her voice quivered with panic.
"I can't make them move."
Richard was already lost in need. He had forgotten how to use his power as the price of returning from the Temple of the Winds, but he had used it before. He had healed before. He was a wizard. He ignored his dizzy head, his sick stomach. He couldn't allow that to stop him. From Nathan, Richard had learned that his power was called through need, if the need was great enough, or through anger, if the anger was great enough. He had never had more need than he had at that moment, nor more anger.
"Richard, oh, Richard, I love you. I want you to know if we...
"Hush," he said in a gentle voice. Her face was cut and bloody. It made him ache to see her pain, her panic.
"I will heal you. Lie still, and I will make you whole again."
"Oh, Richard, I had the book. I lost it. Oh, Richard, I'm so sorry. I had it. I had it, but it's gone."
With a sinking feeling, he grasped what she was saying. He was going to die. There was nothing to be done now. He was lost.
"Richard, please heal Kara."
"No, I don't think I have enough strength to heal both of you."
To heal, he had to take the pain from the one injured. Killing Drefn had taken nearly all the strength he had.
"I must heal you."
Colin shook her head.
"Please, Richard, if you love me, do as I ask. Heal Kara. It's my fault what he did to her. My fault."
A tear ran down her cheek.
"I lost the book. I can't save you. Heal Kara."
She stifled a cry.
"We will be together soon, for all time, then."
He understood. They were both to die. They would be together in the spirit world.
She didn't want to live without him. Richard kissed her brow.
Hold on. Don't give up. Please, Colin, I love you. Don't give up.
Richard turned to Kara. He already felt so sick that the sight didn't affect him the way it normally would have. Her suffering, though, bent him with pain for her. He laid his hands across Kara's bloody, torn middle.
Kara, I'm here. Hold on, for me, hold on so I can help you.
She didn't seem to hear his words as she mumbled, her head lolling from side to side. Richard closed his eyes and opened his heart, his need, his soul. He released himself into the current of empathy. He wanted nothing but to make Kara whole again. She had given her all for them. He didn't know if he had strength enough, but he gave all of himself over to it. He descended into the swirl of her agony. He felt everything she felt, suffered with her. He gritted his teeth, held his breath, and pulled her pain into himself, onward, ever onward, without sparing anything to protect himself. He shook with the suffering, and his mind wailed with it. He absorbed it into himself and then asked for more. He asked for all of it. He demanded it. The world was liquid, twisting, coursing pain. He was swept away in a molten river of it. Its fiery heat consumed his being. Time lost all meaning. There was only the pain. When he felt it all gathered into himself, he let flow his empathy, his power, healing strength, healing heart. He didn't know how to direct it. He just let it flow into her. It felt as if his whole self drained away into her need. She was baked, barren earth, soaking in life-giving rain. When at last he opened his eyes and lifted his head, his arms were lying across the smooth skin of her midriff. She was whole again. Though she seemed still unaware of it, she was whole. Richard turned. Colin was lying on her side, her breath coming in short, sharp pants. Her face was ashen and covered with sweat and blood, her eyes half closed.
Richard, she whispered when he bent to her, free my hands. I want to be hugging you. When
she died, that was what she was going to say. Richard snatched up a knife lying nearby and sliced through the ropes. The anger was back, but only as a distant glow now. He could hardly see the room anymore, hardly hear her, hardly see her. Her wrists finally free, she threw an arm over his neck and drew him to her. Richard struggled to keep from falling on her.
Richard, 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 she whispered, I love you.
Richard went to embrace her and saw the pool of blood spreading under her. His rage ignited anew, his need ignited anew. He took her up in his arms, begging the spirits to spare her.
Please give me the strength to heal this loved one,
he whispered in choking tears.
I have done everything required of me. I have sacrificed everything. Please, losing this loved one should not be part of it. I'm dying. Give me the time. Help me.
It was all he wanted, all he needed as he held her to him. He wanted her to live, to be well, to be whole. Holding her in his arms, he once again released himself into the torrent. He pulled the pain onward, heedless of it, welcoming it, drawing it with all his might. At the same time, he let flow his love, his warmth, his compassion. Colin gasped. Richard could see that his arms were glowing as if a spirit was sharing his body with him. Perhaps he was already a spirit, but he didn't care. He cared only that he would heal her, and cared not at what cost. He would pay any price. Colin gasped with the feel of it, the feel of the power surging into her. Her legs began to tingle. It was the first time she had felt anything in them since Drefin had stabbed her. Richard seemed to glow around her as he hugged her in his arms, held her in his warm, loving embrace. The rapture of the slith, by comparison, was torture. This was beyond anything she had ever felt in her life. She could feel his warm, healing magic coursing through every fiber of her. It was like being born anew,
Life and vitality welled up in her. Tears of bliss flooded from her eyes as she hung in Richard's arms, his magic completely overwhelming her. When at last he parted from her, she moved without pain. Her legs moved. She felt whole. She was healed.
Richard wiped the blood from her lips as he gazed into her eyes. Kneeling on the floor together, Colin kissed him, tasting their salty tears. She parted, gripping his arms, looking into his eyes, seeing him as if in a new light. She had just shared something with him that was beyond words, beyond comprehension. Colin stood, holding out her hand to help him up. Richard lifted his hand toward hers, and then he toppled over onto his face.
"Richard!"
She dropped down, rolling him over onto his back. He was hardly breathing.
"Richard! Oh, please, Richard, don't leave me! Please don't leave me!"
She clutched at his shoulders. He was burning with fever. His eyes were closed. He struggled for each shallow breath.
"Oh, Richard, I'm so sorry. I lost the book. Please, Richard, I love you. Don't die and leave me alone."
"Here,"
came a voice that echoed around the room. Colin's head came up. The voice seemed unreal. She couldn't understand it. Then realization hit her. Colin spun around and saw the quick silver face of the Slith looking down at her. A liquid silver arm held out the black book.
"Master needs this,"
the Slith said.
"Take it."
Colin snatched the book.
"Thank you. Thank you, Slith."
This is the end of side two. You should now change the balance control to the full right position and listen to side one again, this time hearing part B. Simply reverse this cassette, adjust the balance control to full right, and continue. If using the book cassette adapter, place the switch in the B position.